Hey everybody, welcome to podcast 21, right?
It's 21. Cast 21, yeah.
We're joined by everybody today. It has been a while. We have Sean,
yes.
Wade, David, Ben, and myself, Lee. We're going to be talking, give an update on Down Under Heaven, followed by some films that are going on in Minnesota right now. And then we're going to move into talking about the Xbox, Destiny, really excited about that.
Lots of video game madness going on.
Yeah, so yeah. And it's getting into the high point of video game releases right now.
Yeah, and then we thought we'd finish up with some memories of watching films with Robin Williams in it.
Perfect.
Yeah, sounds great. Lovely. Well,
yep. So, if you guys, if anyone listens to this podcast, they understand that we talk about Down Under Heaven all the time, and pretty much everything we say is we've been working on Armor nonstop, which is what we've been doing. There's a lot to get done by this fall, but we are nearing the end. The light at the end of the tunnel is in view, and
it's dim still, but it's in view.
It is. So, what have we been doing? We've been basically just Lee is.
I have been 3D printing
like a madman,
nonstop. And it looks absolutely stunning.
It runs at my house 24/7.
You don't have to be there all the time anymore.
While I'm at work, while I'm at my desk,
we can trust it enough now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the two helmets, the two helmets are being 3D printed. One is all the pieces are printed. The second helmet was like half.
I have second to last printing right now.
Excellent.
I might redo two though because I kind of screwed up on them. So.
Mm.
Perfect. And then the suits themselves, we have pretty much all the pieces physically there, but we're
distressing and weathering and.
Painting
strapping.
And
waiting for the straps and stuff to come so we can start putting that stuff
waiting on. For the straps?
Not the straps.
Straps.
The, like, all the other stuff. Like the...
Centra.
Centra. The pouches and stuff. Everything with it. All the accessories we have to put onto the...
Armor. Right. Straps. We have those.
Yeah. Those aren't... None of those are straps, Ben.
Everything is a strap. Don't you know?
Yeah. And then... really,
no, it's not.
And then, really exciting, on Monday, we're finally reaching the point of no return. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, indeed.
When this
so
gets
that
posted.
Would be the, what is tomorrow? The 8th for eighth. Our future listeners.
Yes.
The 8th of September.
So, yeah, posting the casting call. It's going to be really exciting to see what kind of response we get. And then in a week and a half after that, on the 18th at Cinequipped, we'll be holding the auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeehaw.
So if there's anyone listening who's in the... Twin Cities region, and you would like to audition, we welcome you to.
Or if you're not, then you know people.
Yeah,
let them know.
Spread the word.
Or if you want to fly out,
this
we,
is also
we won't pay, but
but we welcome it. We're happy to bring you along.
Give you a sandwich.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because this is this is like our first real official production that we're doing, and
it, we are jumping into the deep end with it too.
Well,
we like jump from like
we are
shorts to the full thing.
We are very capable.
Oh yeah,
very capable. Oh, yeah. But no, what I'm excited is we've been kind of skirting the edge of the film community for a while now, and I think this is a great way to kind of really get into the middle of it. And once we finally finish it, then we'll obviously be submitting it, I think, to like local fests and everything.
Anyone who will accept it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited to. Use this as a catalyst to inject us into the film community here, which, you know, is about time.
Indeed it is.
But speaking of films we're doing, other films in Minnesota.
And exciting developments that have begun to arise in the last couple of months is a lot of feature-length films, so, you know, full-length, you know, hour-and-a-half-long films, are, you know, these are all indie ones.
Is there a time limit for... What makes it a feature?
I think it's when you get over an hour, it's considered feature length. Yeah, and then it's anything shorter than that, it's considered a short film.
Okay.
Up until like the 10-minute mark, and then it becomes like shorts, like with a, like plural, or short. Anyway, but yeah, so we got a bunch of feature length indie films that are coming to Minnesota now. Right now, to my knowledge, I believe there are three. For sure happening. One of them, or actually two of them are, like, it seems like war films are popular right now. It's two war films to deal with soldiers that are coming back from, like, Iraq and Afghanistan and dealing with, you know, getting back into civilian life.
PTS stuff.
I don't know if it's that, but it's just the adjustment.
It's that kind of war film. It's not like a battle.
No. Yeah.
Is it a Sounds like a documentary or no?
Nope. These are nonfiction. Or, okay. I'm sorry, fiction. Fiction films. Yeah, so there's two of those, and then there's a third one, which I think is a horror film. All filming up here right now. And I was seeing there's a Facebook group called TC Cinematics or Twin Cities Cinematics, and there's a lot of Twin Cities filmmakers on there. And a couple of weeks ago, one of the guys posted as a tip from his casting agent, who works with the acting union, saying that I think in the course of the next year, there are 10 indie films slated to have production in Minnesota with budgets between $1 million and $10 million.
Wow,
nice.
Awesome. So, yeah, and I think a big thing with that is the Iron Range rebate. So filming up in the Iron Range, yep. You can get like a 40% rebate. Not 40%, a 20% rebate on your production costs. And then combined with the Snowbait program, if you're doing your post work in Minnesota, you can get another 20% of your post written off.
The Iron Range, by the way, is the northern part of Minnesota that has more of a rocky terrain, yep. Less of a farmland foresty look.
Yep, and named Iron Range for the taconite there, which is mined to make iron.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, so it's really exciting to see, hopefully.
Do you know any of the names?
I know one of them was called Bloodstripe, and that's one of the ones that is about the veterans returning to civilian life. The other one is called
something.
It's like Victoria. It's like, I think it's called like Victoria or something.
Don't hurt yourself.
It's yeah. I apologize if any of the people on that crew is listening. I do apologize for forgetting the name. There's a lot of, I have to remember a lot of things, but yeah. So hopefully that we'll be seeing even more films, and hopefully, you know, 8 more, 7 more do come to Minnesota. And hopefully the legislature will see that and put more money into incentives.
Things will get much busier at Cinequipped for you.
They will indeed. Yeah, and we got the new area mirror at Cinequipped as well. So the area's new camera, and that's going to be popular as well.
We also got to try out the movie other brand.
Oh, the Ronin.
Oh, yeah, the Ronin. Yeah, that's like a digital stabilizer.
Which
like
you didn't tell me that you're bringing it.
I know.
I didn't get to try it.
It was a last minute. I'll bring it back for you again.
Well, we'll use an undone.
Well, we'll see.
That'd be fun. We'll see. I think there's probably a limit to how many things we can get from Cinequipped.
Yeah.
Well, that one's well within the limit. The triple is it's dealing with demand.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it just arrived, and everyone I think wants to try it out.
Yeah, no, we've had a lot of people come to look at it, a lot of people are saying they're going to buy it because Cinequipped is going to have to sell it as well. It's actually kind of a lucky thing that we're happening to because like someone basically wants to subrent it through us.
What's the retail?
Like $3,000.
But I think it's like $3,000 for the base kick. Like if you get some of the extras, I think it goes.
Wasn't the movie?
Movie's 15.
For the big 10. One is 15.
Okay.
For the middle, for the M10, I think, which is like it has a lower weight limit. I think that one's like $10,000. Mm. So like for them, it's basically $1,000.
Still quite
a
bit more than.
Oh yeah.
$3,000 though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, and they're getting cheaper. And you can, like, if you wanted to put the time into making your own version of the movie, you can make it for about $1,200.
Yeah, which we've talked about.
So is this something, like, you could just buy the base of and then upgrade as you upgrade cameras, too, as far as the weight limit and stuff?
It's probably...
No, the weight limit doesn't change.
Completely designed change differently.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
If there are cheaper versions and more expensive versions. Never mind.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's different motors.
Oh.
Because higher weight, you need stronger motors.
Different structure.
Yeah.
Size.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And no, I would say, it doesn't change. Just looking at the footage that we shot just a brief little test out in the garage and walking around, it's remarkably smooth.
Yeah.
With no training, just picking up and going.
Like, yeah.
Do you feel like you're in control then, too?
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't really, like, point the camera where you want because it's designed to resist your movements.
Does that have the one that has the video feedback with the camera control, though?
There's like a remote control.
So like there's the camera guy who follows like a path, and then there's a
remote operator
for that actually points the camera.
Yeah, the Ronin does have it has a remote control, so someone else if they had like a wireless
monitor. That's where it gets really really nice.
Although I didn't use the remote control, you did, but I hope it's more I hope it's maybe a little less sensitive, because when you were using it, it was like, like it was jerking around.
Yeah, you can customize everything in the app. The the thing with the remote control that was most irritating is like, because like if you plug in that remote control to a computer, you can remap the key, the joysticks and the buttons, and they have pan and tilt is on the same joystick, which. So as a result, you want those separated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, because like because those are the big movements. Like you don't need like roll very often.
Yeah.
But by having those on separate joysticks on the two, like you get better control over it. Because so when you're trying to just pan left, you know, if your hair, you know, you push to the joystick just a hair up accidentally, and it's then you start getting a tilt up yeah. too. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to separate those out. Cool.
But yeah, no, it's a sweet piece of equipment.
Yeah, well, and excited for the CineQuipt is going to get another one called the Lettuce Helix, and I'm excited for that one a bit more because that one is going to have the post adapter to put it on a Steadicam. It's one thing that those Ronins and stuff still don't compensate for is up and down movement of walking.
That and they're heavy.
Yeah, like the Ronin's 9 pounds. The Lettuce is only 6, mm-hmm. so it's a bit lighter, but it has the same camera weight limit of 15 pounds. So I'm excited to try that out on a Steadicam.
I think,
and to get best of both worlds.
I think what I'm excited about is that technology. To me, it seems like it's finally like changing filming in a way that hasn't been done for a while with the Steadicam, and just like utilizing recent technology and like quadcopters and like,
yeah.
You know, things have been around kind of like that, but yeah. Just things haven't really changed that much, in my opinion, for quite a long time.
The biggest change to cinema, in my opinion, of the last couple decades was the Red One.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time there was a digital camera that could shoot
been a long time.
Cinema in a meaningful way.
But yeah, like prior to this year, or I guess recently when drones and these new Steadicams have been coming out, the Ronin and the Mobi and things... Prior to that, if you wanted to get similar shots, you'd have to hire like a helicopter
with a very expensive ray gun
on the front of it. And you'd have to get a Steadicam and a professional operator for it. I mean,
So to get shots, it's kind of like the cheaper, you know, back in the day when the first digital cameras like did the same thing where they could get relatively okay imagery for cheap, you know, enabling indie filmmakers.
The XL1 was big, which is so incapable when you compare it to cameras today. But then it was like
the top of the game
shit, because it was 30p. It wasn't maybe it wasn't p, maybe it was interlaced. I don't even know.
No, it was interlaced.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 30i, and it was SD, and it's so small in scope compared to what we can do now.
What I'm interested about is if 3D is gonna continue on the consumers, like from indie, or you shake your head, but
no one wants to wear glasses.
That's true.
What if it gets to the point where they develop a technology where you don't have to wear glasses? I think 3D will work.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, it's another thing to lose. Like first you can't find your remote, and then you can't find your bloody 3D glasses.
I'm interested to see like what a camera would look like with they have like two lenses and two hard drives in them or something.
Oh, well, they do have a camera like that.
Like built into one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, it's the it was released, I think, or they released a video about it, I think, 2 months ago or so, 3 months ago. The new IMAX 4K 3D camera. Okay. And it's one where, you know, with traditional, like, if we're on The Hobbit, they have the what do they call it, like the split plane setup the where mirror. they have one camera that points forward normally through a mirror. And then the other camera is above it at a right angle, pointing down.
It's maybe the third time David's talked about this on the podcast. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So do I need to start listening?
Well, I was talking about is like, you go to Best Buy and you pick up.
You can buy those. Yeah, Panasonic makes several. Sony makes one. And it's where the lenses are both in the same housing. And with this is the same with the IMAX. Like they have custom lenses that click in, and they're both so small enough to deal with the...
So the consumer stuff exists, but then as far as it's the adoption rate, like you have to have the 3D TV, you have to have everything else.
I think they do need to get rid of the glasses. Like to be able to just walk down the street or something and see something in 3D, like advertisement.
How do you
like,
do that, though? It has to be a hologram.
Yeah, and like there's things, but it's not very... easy.
Yeah, well, like the one that would be easiest to do that, though, would only work for one person at a time.
Yeah, it's
would
very be limited like the, viewing.
Yeah, like it would be like with that Apple does, or like the new Amazon Fire Phone, where it's a faked perspective.
The 3DS.
Yeah,
you do it with that.
Yeah, and it works fine. Although,
but you have to be at a specific angle.
You have to kind of
only one person.
You have to play around with the angle to get
it
just right.
Cross your eyes slightly.
No, you don't do that. But they wisely included a little fader. Thing.
Exactly.
So you can adjust how much 3D you want,
I usually turn it off the couple times I've played it. Like I'll try it for a little bit, and then my eyes start hurting.
Yeah.
And I think actually Sony for the PlayStation 4, they have a monitor that is specifically 3D capable, similar to what the 3DS has, and It even is to the point where you can be playing multiplayer with two people and somehow they can't see your screen and you can't see their screen.
Yeah, they have that on some TV or on some monitors in cars.
That's a Sony monitor they have. It alternates between, or it flickers on like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, and then the glasses are tuned to the one side of the other. Only see ones.
Oh.
And the other only sees twos.
They are glasses,
the,
though.
Because of the oscillation of the frequency.
And actually with
some light thing.
And actually with that, Dell just released a 5K monitor.
What?
Yeah, like a 20. It's a 24 or 27.
Is that the new thing? It's just going to be like 4 or 5, 6K, 7K, 8K. Because at some point you can't like label it everything. Yeah. Like, think of a name like super ultra high definition.
Well, technically the ultra HD or UHD is 4 to 8. It's spectrum. It all counts as that, which I think is dumb. They should just call it what it is. Like we didn't call, you know, it's 1080.
Well, I'm sure if you know what you're talking about, you will. But then for the people that don't.
Yeah. But I mean, like someone walks in and's like, I want an ultra HD screen. Like, well, which one do you want? We have the 4K, the 6K, the 5.5, and the 8K. Which one would you like?
prior to that, like TVs were just TVs. There wasn't a name for the resolution, and then high def came out. It was, you know, HD.
It was 720, then 1080.
Yeah, there was seven. Yeah, there was HD, and then there was like, oh, which HD? Yeah. You got the good HD or the bad HD?
Exactly.
And now it's kind of like what Microsoft did when they came out with HD DVD. Yeah. Who wants to say that? HD DVD? No.
Well, and that's been like a point of contestation between Microsoft and Sony for a while too, because like right then it was the HD DVD and Blu-ray
versus
Blu-ray, but that fight hasn't really stopped either.
It wasn't Microsoft.
Like they don't make HD DVDs anymore.
That did HD
DVD. No, it hasn't stopped. But it hasn't stopped in being that Microsoft competing with Sony and stuff like that.
I think it's funny that Apple just like. They're like, no, digital.
Yep.
Like, and take away the drives.
And I know I've said it before, like, Apple has never, to my knowledge, never made a wrong decision for hardware.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben. I screwed up your transition.
It wasn't a very good one, to be fair.
No.
It was a bad transition.
It was forcing it.
You were forcing it a little bit.
All right, Destiny. I just did it.
Done. No, we're going to talk about...
We're talking about the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Xbox. And then Destiny.
Yeah.
John, just recently, last night, struggled with...
Yes.
Well, they got a good promotion going on right now that started yesterday.
You
right?
buy an Xbox One, you get a free game.
Yep.
And when did they email you, Lee? Did they email you on Friday?
I just saw it on Facebook.
Okay. I saw it on Reddit.
I follow Xbox on Facebook, so
yeah.
Okay. I think it might have been on Game Informer.
Well, recently Microsoft launched this ad campaign where if you buy an Xbox One between September 7th through September 13th, you get to choose a free new game, and the sky's the limit. And it includes bundled systems and regular Xbox Ones.
Mm-hmm. It has to be a game that is out.
So no pre-orders.
From your purchase.
It has to be a physical game, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one thing. I'm all digital now. Like, I don't want...
Yeah.
I have two physical games for Christmas from people, but...
Yeah, and I'm the one, I'm still on the fence on that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's going to be some games like Destiny, which I will buy digital, because it's one where... The online experience is really what it is. But the other games, like when Assassin's Creed comes out I may be picky about Halo. I may get Halo Digital, Master Chief Collection.
The reason I like it from a social multiplayer perspective is if I'm playing Watch Dogs and I'm just like kicking back playing, I'm the only one online, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ben or Wade jumps on, sends me a notification, hey, let's play Destiny. I click a button, it launches Destiny.
No more.
I don't get up.
Switching,
I don't get up from my
nice
couch or got my headset.
I wanted the two for Destiny, but I wanted the Ghost Collector's Edition. Yeah.
Do you guys think that, so obviously if you play digital games, it's not going to, the drive isn't going to make any noise, but does the drive make noise with physical games?
No, because you have to install
You have to install the game anyway. Games. In fact, it just like, this becomes a key. Is more or less what it is.
So
the reasoning is for speed, so that developers can make their games tune to reading data off of a hard drive.
So that means that hard drive space is paramount as far as how many games.
Yep, and they just released an update. You can't install like replace the hard drive in the Xbox, but you can add a USB.
And what is
attachment.
what is the size of it? Is it 500 gigs?
The base,
the internal.
Yeah,
there are a couple.
There's the bundle. That's
there's one that's a terabyte, isn't it?
Yeah,
like the Madden bundle.
I figured, but you know, with a USB 3.0 interface, so, you know, you can put down $100 and get a terabyte.
You can get a really small ones now too.
Yeah, like you could easily expand space.
So what you're saying is, like if I got, you know, the special for the Xbox special for Destiny, I'd get the physical copy, install it, but to play it, I'd have to put the disc in. Exactly. It just wouldn't play off the disc.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, yep. I'd have to get up, but I'll save money.
And it's kind of funny that with 360 they did it for. I think Halo 4 and like GTA to have better performance,
you would install it.
But it would read both, so it could do parallel reading from the disk and the hard drive.
Read both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think Microsoft, you know, they kind of want just one way, and then developers can rely on that. Like, I know everybody's going to be reading from a hard drive, so I can tune it.
Well, and they wanted to move everybody to digital, off of disk for a while, and you had the whole fiasco with it coming out.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day. We're thinking probably by, you know, assuming the Xbox One has about the same lifespan as the 360, so about 7-8 years, you figure that probably by the end of it,
I'm going to say in 5 years.
Yeah, towards the end of its life, they're gonna start making discs. It will become you'll have to hunt harder,
or you like pay more or something.
Yeah, which of course is, you know, that's a big question for GameStop.
It should. Like, I think it's like digital, like, should be like $5 cheaper for
It should be more than that, because it also packaging, manufacturing, and shipping.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking probably at least $15.
Think of
cheaper.
All the jobs are going to be lost with your crazy radical idea.
I know. Well, think about it. You know, if it goes digital, what happens to GameStop?
Well, that's GameStop's been around for a while, though, too, because PC games you've been able to buy digitally.
What are they
going to
do?
So old
people still sell and buy old, like, retro games. Yeah. And
people still buy DVDs and.
Yeah,
and as far as just something to throw out there, nostalgia. I mean, do you guys get the feeling when you pick up that case, you know, the times that you played the game? That's just something I've always had.
I do. I am a collector at some level, but I'm not completely dedicated to it. So usually, like all my CDs, like music CDs, they're in a box under a bed somewhere.
Sure.
Like I might have gotten rid of them actually. So it's like at some point I move on to the next thing and I forget about.
Yeah.
One thing that I will miss with it, because again, with Halo, I'm guessing I'll probably, both with Master Chief Collection and eventually for Halo 5 Guardians, I'm guessing I'll probably end up doing that digitally. Mm-hmm. But I know one of my proud things, with all my Xbox 360 games, I have Halo for the Xbox, original Xbox, Halo Anniversary Edition, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo ODST, Halo Reach.
I do like that.
Like all that. And I like being able to see that. Like, hey,
that's the problem, though, is I'm not that crazy, and I don't spend. I don't
you
get
call
all.
Me crazy
I don't.
Now?
No, I don't
what
get.
Are you
a, I'm
no,
saying
he's crazy. He's just not that crazy.
I'm saying I don't get all the games, and so therefore, at the end of a, you know, like the Xbox One or the first Xbox or the 360, I only have like 15 discs or boxes, and it's like that's not that impressive to show off. You know what I mean?
Sure. So it's like when you compare that to like the Rooster Teeth thing, where they have a giant bookcase completely filled, double stacked, thick. With Xbox PS4.
If I was that dedicated and like got that amount of games, like yes, I would probably want to show that off.
You could always, of course, buy just empty cases and print out the labels.
So
fake it.
If you guys couldn't tell by now, we have chosen to play Destiny on Xbox One.
Yeah.
That's the Xbox One won our console war.
Yeah. Yep.
Master Chief Collection.
South Park was right.
Yeah.
Master Chief Collection. Do you know the pricing on that?
Mm-mm.
It's $60.
It's
$60 for all of those games and all of that multiplayer.
Well,
not bad at all.
Well, sure, because you theoretically already have bought the game again. You're buying the game again because you've already bought Halo.
I think it's targeted to people that haven't played Halo before too.
Yeah, is it like $60 for that many games? Like that's what an average Halo campaign is. What, 8 hours or so? If you're sort of average, you're right in the middle, so you're getting so much gameplay out of that.
But first, before Master Chief,
there is Destiny.
Tuesday, 2 days away.
Oh, I'm so
or midnight.
So, yeah.
Tomorrow.
So this is the game that Bungie has been marketing and promoting for like 18 years now.
Is just
out of control.
They created Google
Street
Earth, Planet View,
Street View
for,
and they did it
for
all the
Destiny.
Planets.
Which is amazing.
It's insane. Who has looked at it? I haven't looked at it.
I looked at it a little bit.
It's not like Google Maps where you can go all over the place, but there is a path that you go along and you can kind of do
it. Sometimes it forks.
Yeah, but they even plotted the Curiosity rover on Mars,
so you can
see some tracks going off.
It's meant to like teach people about the universe, like you'll like go along and see an enemy and you can hover over it and a guy's like a guy's like narrating the whole thing and like this enemy on Venus.
Also, so Destiny has released, or Bungie's released, a lot of trailers for this game. Lots, so many. And I can't even keep them straight anymore. I kind of stopped watching them. But the other day, they released a live-action trailer, which
is brilliant.
Incredible. Which was the first trailer that I watched and said, oh my God, yes, I want to play this.
Yeah, that was the tipping point for you, because like, it was after that trailer. Like, in the comments on our Facebook thing, you said, okay, I'm settled. Yeah.
Well, I was already going to get it, but now
But now, like, you were going to get it now. Because you were going to wait a while, in theory, before you got your Xbox. But that's was it.
One of the cool things about the trailer is that it had a Led Zeppelin song in it. Which
classical.
Yeah, put it on something classical.
But Led Zeppelin's not in any commercials. Like, they've been very particular about, like, not, like, allowing their music being proliferated in ads.
And so they're used a lot in the Mazda, the Zoom Zoom.
Really? Yeah, that's true.
That's Led Zeppelin.
Okay. I haven't seen any.
They're not Zoom Zoom anymore, are they?
No, they're not.
No.
They changed everything. Anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah, so live action trailer is totally badass.
Their armor was really cool in there, like the props that they made and stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah. So who hasn't seen it? That's they have three characters that are their three classes: the Titan, Warlock, and Hunter. Oh. And they had them all suited up, real costumes, which look amazing.
Yeah, I want to find out which company they got that made all that stuff. Like if it was Impact or
it was not Impact. I guarantee it wasn't Impact. They're just fans. You're thinking of
what am I
Blue Realm.
Blue, thank you. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking of Legacy. That's the one in my mind. It was Legacy.
Blue Realm did the.
They were the Master Chief.
Yeah.
Well, there's another one called Legendary, too.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I also said Legendary.
Well, there's Legacy.
Oh.
And you said Legacy.
Legacy has done some stuff too, so that's kind of confusing.
And anyway, I want to find out who did it. Yeah, and yeah, I just out of curiosity for everyone here, or for your main on Destiny, do you have your class picked out?
Titan XO.
Titan Hunter. Titan for Sean.
Hey, who is the guy who did like the little like blink ability and the left the warlock explosion?
No, that's the Hunter.
Hunter.
Oh yeah, the Hunter did the blink. The
Hunters and Warlocks both have them.
Oh, okay. So
I'm gonna be a Hunter.
One cool thing is they showed off each class's special abilities. So like, who was the guy who did like the pounding the ground in
Titan?
That was the Titan.
You didn't play the beta, did you?
No,
I did not. I played the beta.
We all played.
But the
beta.
I'm acting as the viewer who wants
the
to
naive
know.
Viewer.
Naive, just curious. So then what was the Warlock? What did he do in the trailer?
He was the big
Nova Bomb.
The Nova Bomb.
The shooting the big.
The purple thing.
Okay, so is that like a grenade, basically?
A big grenade.
It's like a bomb. It's
energy bomb.
Okay. Now, do you get the feeling, because they took on like hundreds of enemies, do you get the feeling that everyone's just cannon fodder for you to fight in this game?
That
was just a trailer.
They played it up a bit. Like when that, like when they
there are some pretty good mobs when I was playing in the beta.
Yeah. I thought it was scaling nicely.
Mm-hmm. Like especially the levels. I don't know if you played where you like
I did the whole
you're
thing.
Setting up the satellite.
Yeah.
No, like coming down that corridor.
Yeah, I did everything in the beta, so I got all the way to the end.
Cover matters too. Like there is going to be like strategy that you need to figure out to do stuff.
Did you guys get the feeling that there was like a really significant threat out there that you couldn't take on just yet?
When they were hinting a little bit at there wasn't a whole lot. The first couple of missions, you're like, okay, I'm fighting aliens. This is something I'm used to, like with Halo. But they don't really talk about like the big enemy that's referred to as the darkness. Yeah. It's brought up a couple of times.
It's more
the band of the darkness.
It was more just
I believe in a thing called
that. It was more just setting up like who the ghost was, like what had happened.
Who you were.
What's happening now.
And there's a lot of interesting theories out there involved, and I don't know if I want to say them because you haven't played the beta. So you
not
don't
only that, but spoilers to viewers.
Yeah, so I won't say what, but they set up some interesting plot lines involving what they call in there the fall, which would mean the fall
the
of...
The collapse.
I'm sorry, the collapse, thank you. Which is the collapse of humanity's golden age. Sure, so there's some interesting things in there from humanity's side of things that I'm very interested to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
Well, each race is spawned from humanity. There's the humans, the Awoken, and the Exo, but they all are originally...
If you talk about one more thing...
I'm sorry. But this is stuff that's known. You can find out.
It's not known to me.
There are three races, Wade.
No, stop.
Okay, stop.
What did you guys think about the dialogue in that commercial? I felt like they really put it...
They cheesed it up a little bit.
I thought it was from the perspective of a player. You know, not like the action, not your character, like your guardian in the world. It's like you as a player, you're playing.
It felt like the commercial they did for Titanfall, where like the Titans falling around... the players.
Sure. Oh, sure.
So it's just like, yeah, just like a fun, like silly kind of. Yeah. I thought it was a little too silly, but
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like the popping the collar.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I thought silly. The hunter. The space turtle comment was pretty funny, though. I thought that was...
Or like, I know how to say hello. Well, it looks like he knows how to say goodbye, too.
Yeah, there was some...
And then, another thing. Why does the black guy, or he sounds black, have... He has a shotgun every time for them. They did that. They did that in Reach, too.
Yeah, Emil had a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
And real quick, to the classes real quick. So, Sean, you said you were going to be Titan. Lee, you said you were going to be Hunter. Mm-hmm. I said I was going to be Hunter. Ben?
I'm a Warlock.
You're a Warlock? Any ideas yet?
I would have to play and see what feels right.
And do how many characters do you get?
You get three. You can play one of each class.
I know my main is going to be a hunter, but that's my style.
Wait, so what are you guys getting? Hunter, you're a hunter?
Yep.
Warlock.
And you're a Titan.
Titan, XO. Cool.
So I'm Big Bomb Dude, he's Fist Dude.
You should be a Warlock or a Titan.
Titans sound cool. I think I want to try that.
You want to make me the only Warlock? Is that what it is?
Hmm?
I'm the only Warlock?
Because in Halo, that's like I'm like up close and personal. Hand to hand.
That's exactly what you're doing. You're right there.
That's Titans. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's like the tank.
Well, they do fists. They do knees. They do shoulders. It's all over the place.
Okay, that sounds fun. I'll try that one out.
Yeah. I guess this is the first game where I've actually gone after the sniper rifle intentionally. Because normally I don't really go for the sniper rifles.
Well, you can start with one. Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, but I mean, like, I go out of my way to find sniper rifles for it. The first time I've really been at distance. Usually, I'm a spray.
And they've talked about how when you level up further, you can really like customize your character and even have like a warlock that's a sniper.
There's
on that. So it's really
it's like customizable. It's like Diablo, where like you play enough where you find the build that you want that works best for you. It's bringing in the RPG elements into Halo universe. Or Halo kind
and of so I know that in Destiny they're not really giving you control over your ship as far as flying through space, but
for this game,
could you imagine? He said with an exasperated sigh. Could you imagine what? Stop sighing. What it would be like if Destiny had elements of what's the planet? No Man's Planet or whatever.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky.
Could you imagine what it'd be like?
That would be so incredible.
It would be the perfect game.
And to be honest, I think it may come out. Lee and I were talking about it the other day, like what is going to be, like, if you will, the product line for Destiny. Like, is it going to be a series of expansions over the course of potentially the next 10 years? Or is it going to be like, okay, we hit the 5-year mark. Okay, here's Destiny 2. So here's like, because my theory is like one of the big updates, whether it be a new game or an expansion, one of the big ones that is going to be coming out, I'm guessing, is going to be the, if you will, the Outer Rim, so the gas giants, so out past. Because right now we're on Mars, Mercury, and Venus, and Earth.
Not Mercury? No, it's Mars, Venus.
As far as what they've said.
Okay. The Moon and Earth.
Okay, yeah, so it's those. But so I'm guessing the next game is going to involve going out to Jupiter, Saturn.
That'd be cool. They have a place called the Vale, too. That's in our solar system. Oh.
Maybe there's going to be some fun flying through the asteroid belt.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, especially like one of the, like, the first thing I did when I was playing on the beta was saving up to buy a different ship than the, like, your default one you get at the start. Because I love spaceships. I love flying. So I really want them to add that at some point, my ability to take control.
I imagine they'll add it. Because I feel like there was restrictions with this first Destiny game that they have to also develop it for the Xbox 360 and the PS3. So when you take out that limitation for the next iteration game, maybe there's more processing they'll be able to do, more stuff they'll be able to do and accomplish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Is it like WoW, where it's just like added on to the already created world, or if they made Destiny 2?
Well, that's what we're discussing.
Yeah, no, yeah, and if it is a separate game, if it is a Destiny 2, I think it would be an adding to this world. So you'd still be able to go to Earth and Venus and everything. It's just you would be, if you will, unlocking Jupiter, Saturn, and that outer stuff. Sure. Or maybe it will be a DLC. Like, because there's already, they've announced two DLC.
They call them expansions.
Oh, expansions. Mm-hmm. So there's DLC. The Fall. I don't remember the names of them.
Yeah,
I
forgot.
I don't remember them either.
Anyway, but yeah, they've announced already. I think they're coming out. Both of them are this year, mm-hmm. I think.
I just know that I get them with my Ghost Edition. Yep.
Lee, you've downloaded Destiny already.
Yep.
You're just waiting.
It's ready to go.
You should find a way to hack it.
I'm sure someone already has.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably be doing today if I get my Xbox One, is I'm going to buy it today.
It's tough to
buy Destiny. Because
you have to play off of their servers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's always on, but you can't play offline.
Yeah, you can't.
Yep. That's why I'm doing digital
for this. Sean, you played the Alpha.
in the beta.
As well as the beta. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So what was it like playing the beta after doing the alpha?
They changed a few things, just like character movements. Like, we were kind of being silly in the alpha just to kind of see how far we can push the limits of the game. And you could stack like four characters on top of each other, jumping on their head. But they removed that after we took a snapshot of it.
Yeah, because of that snapshot.
Yeah, we shared that snapshot. I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but it was pretty
cool. No, you take credit for that. You own that. Yeah. That was okay, so now it's official for all the world. That was removed because of Sean.
I was so
you can either blame him or hate him.
I was watching your Twitch stream while you were playing the alpha at work, and I was watching you getting this big epic boss battle. Then I click away again, I'm working on a video. A while later, I look back, and it's you just like jumping on each other's heads. So like,
yeah, it was wild. But in the alpha, I mean, it was just so neat to explore things. I mean, they put things where you have to find a golden treasure chest, five golden treasure chests.
On each planet.
Yeah. And then you end up getting a new piece of gear. And the chests are in areas that you wouldn't expect. Like, you'll see a waterfall, and you're like, hey, in a typical game, I wouldn't be able to get through it because it's halfway up the wall. Well, if you can figure out how to jump your character there, there's an opening into a cave behind the waterfall, and there's lies
it's always a cave behind and the
it's
waterfall.
Not like a clear path.
It's not a clear path. Yeah, it's shaded. You can't really see it. That was kind of really neat about the alpha. And when I was doing that live Twitch stream, I think it was 10 hours at the final last steps. My buddy and I ended up making it into I can't remember the race. Is it a fallen? What's the alien race that landed on Vanguard? They crashed in there.
Oh.
They crashed into the...
The Fallen? The Fallen was those are people that you primarily fought in the alpha and the beta.
They look like elites.
Well, we made it into a troll cave. This evil troll.
Oh, I think... Oh, fuck. Well.
I don't know if we were supposed to get there or not, but it was neat that they had that. Like, you would be around the mountain and you would hear people screaming.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the heck is in that mountain? And we were able to get into the center of it.
Hive. So the Hive.
The Hive. That's exactly. Yeah. So when you get into Destiny, explore the
Space
Hive.
Space zombies.
Yeah. Space zombies. It's really crazy. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else to add on Destiny?
I love it.
We're excited.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 would buy.
Yeah. Would buy. Yeah, we're a fire team now. We'll all be on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not. Well, that's another challenge I have to deal with. It's fire team. Fire team.
Well, we can do the raids.
Yeah.
Do
6.
Oh, have they talked about the raids at all?
No, just 6-person raids.
Mm. Yeah, but we can't do fire team. Like, we can't do fire team missions.
Yeah,
altogether, we need to.
That's fine. I doubt everybody's gonna be online at the same time.
Yeah, we'll probably just take turns. Like, we'll okay, now us, now us.
But we can crucible five.
Yeah,
five team fire
that's
team.
That's true.
That's awesome.
Cool. And then the last thing we're gonna touch on today is discussing Robin Williams and some of our favorite memories of movies with him. Obviously, everyone's seen the classics like Aladdin, probably Mrs. Doubtfire. And
I think that was probably my first movie I saw with
Mrs. Doubtfire.
What?
I haven't seen all of Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's a shame.
What, did you like get halfway through and say, not for me?
It was never, like, I would never sat down and watch it as a family.
He gets
it was always like
he gets distracted easily.
No, it was at, like, a doctor's appointment or something like that, or some office.
What doctor's appointment has Mrs. Doubtfire?
We're getting off track. So, I'll start the favorite Robin Williams thing I ever saw. It was, you showed it to me about back in the day. It was a stand-up bit from Robin Williams. Yeah. I never saw a stand-up before, but it was the funniest stand-up thing ever. He does this bit where he's introducing how the Scottish came up with golf.
Dang, that was going to be mine.
That was going to be yours?
That was going to be mine. I love that one.
Okay, so you guys have seen it.
Yeah.
He's just great.
Robin Williams Live on Broadway, for those of you that are searching for it.
And he's just like, all right, this is... Golf is the weirdest sport, and it totally makes sense that a Scotsman came up with it, because he gets out of the... He's in the bar one day. He's had 18 scotches. He's like, right, here's what we do for a sport. I take a ball, and I hit it in a golfer hole.
What, you mean like croquet?
No. You mean like pool. Not with a straight stick, a little fucked up stick. And then he just keeps going, and it's funnier and funnier. But yeah, that was my favorite. What about you, Sean?
I really love Jumanji. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jumanji,
yeah.
Kind of.
Watched Jumanji.
Like,
and you're the one who wanted to talk about Robin Williams, and you haven't seen all of his Doubtfire or Jumanji.
Yeah. And Jumanji and Patch Adams was another really good one.
He has so many good movies.
Yeah.
Like every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, there's that one.
I just love how like he has these great comedy movies, but then he has like the really great dramas.
Too. Yeah.
I would say, for me, Mrs. Doubtfire. As far as just like first experience with Robin Williams and just like getting introduced to cross-dressing. But
he opened up your world.
Yep. I was like, oh my God. But another, like, a drama one that I'm reminded of, it was an okay movie, but like it was a Bionicle Man or something.
Oh, Bicentennial.
Bicentennial. Yeah.
That was an interesting. I can play.
I just because I love sci-fi, and just like especially movies that deal with artificial intelligence, like Artificial Intelligence from Steven Spielberg. It was a really good, sad, like made you think movie.
Yeah, and not a comedy, and he had to play, you know, serious scenes.
Yeah, and just like act like a robot and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It would be weird.
Good special effects, by the way, in that.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
Ben,
the first drama movie I actually ever, the movie that got me into dramas and watching dramas was Dead Poets Society. Mm. I love Dead Poets Society.
Which, by the way, I didn't know that the quote, "What will your verse be?" speech was Robin Williams from that movie.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
The other good movie that I liked was what was the one with Matt Damon and
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah,
he had a whole like the whole bit about him talking about his story with his wife. That was all just ad libbed. Just
on the bench. Yeah, he was phenomenal. Did he win an Oscar for that movie?
He did, I believe. I think he won Best Supporting.
Yeah, and then it also won Best Screenplay, I think. Yeah, but
did
yeah,
you know he played WoW.
What?
Did you know that he played WoW?
Yeah.
We'll look, David.
Yeah. Go for it. We got to get around the circle here.
You left all the good ones. You took a lot of the good ones.
Nobody said Aladdin.
I was going to be mad. The one is probably either Aladdin 1 or Aladdin 3. Yeah, no.
He was in that.
It was the same thing where it was all ad lib stuff, like nonstop. And especially growing up, I always thought it was funny because he did wacky voices, and I didn't get any references. And then I watch it when I'm 18 or something, and then I realize he's making all sorts of jokes about the Marx Brothers, and there's all these, in Bob Hope, and all these jokes I never got when I was younger, and it was absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my funny one, and probably for a serious one, then I'd probably have to go with Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, I like how in Aladdin 3, it ends with that same guy in the beginning of the first one who's telling you the story of the genie. So it bookends.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I think he does the voice for that guy too.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But I can see that.
Yeah, so he bring it back to video games. He actually is a big video game player.
Yeah,
big Zelda.
Yep,
named his daughter.
Named his daughter Zelda. Zelda. And so like people like the WoW. Like even Nintendo has said that they're gonna put some stuff.
They might do some stuff.
In Warcraft there is an NPC named Robin Williams. He's a genie. Yeah.
I thought it was Robin Robin's the entertainer. I thought that's what his.
It might be
his actual in character name.
But then like if you interact with him, he says phenomenal cosmic power. Or something like that. And then he like goes into his little lamp and he's like, but he'd be a little of space.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. I hope that Nintendo does. Something, but
it'd be fun
because they didn't want to talk about it now.
Right, yeah. But it would make sense because they used him and Zelda in a commercial for the Ocarina of Time
in multiple commercials.
Yeah,
it was a good commercial.
I think Zelda does other stuff because she has said she's working with Nintendo. Like she was working on some projects with Nintendo, whether that's other PR stuff.
And Zelda had a stage presence for Nintendo at E3.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That and I think there's some Brothers. Other things too.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
But phenomenal actor, capable of so many different types of roles. I never saw the Dead Poets Society, but I've seen scenes.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. I
mean, Awakenings is also a good one too with Robert De Niro.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody mention Jack? That's another one of his films when he plays.
He's a kid, but he ages like four times faster than normal humans.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's in school and he's like fully grown, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be a role for him.
Yep,
Hook. Hook was another good one.
Oh yeah, Hook. I forgot about Hook.
Oh man,
we're forgetting about all these.
Movies. I just watched that. That's such a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie,
and that's a classic Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people don't like it.
I didn't know he made that. I saw the credits. I was like, oh,
yeah,
makes sense.
Also, Dustin Hoffman is Hook.
He did a brilliant job. That was absolutely phenomenal.
Yep. Oh, and I think I forget his name. The guy who played Mario in Super Mario Brothers. He's Smee.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh.
What's his name? Bob?
I forget his name. But he's also really a lot of great moments in Hook. That was a classic when I was a kid, and I didn't see really Peter Pan. That was like that was my Peter Pan as a kid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see any other.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always got them confused. I was like Peter Pan. Oh no, Hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Peter Pan. Yeah. And I'm sure we're leaving out quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few movies because he's been in so many things across his entire career. He's not one of those actors who like takes a break and doesn't do anything for 10 years. He's consistently been in a lot of different movies.
Mm-hmm. And he has been doing like stand up like nonstop. Like he, mm-hmm. I think about three, no, actually it was probably like 6 years ago now. He had a stand up show here in Minneapolis.
I think really? I think his start was him doing just comedy on the streets of New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got a pretty late start, right?
He had been doing stand up for a while, and then he was on. Well, his big thing to get him into visual media was Mork and Mindy. That was his first TV show when he played an alien.
Oh yeah,
who crashed on Earth? Right. You know, Nanu Nanu.
Forgot about that.
and
that's because his audition. He like came in and they're like do something weird, and he like stood on his head on the chair. Did a headstand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was his big first one, and then it went on from there.
Oh, also another one that I really liked, What Dreams May Come.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. Like I've only seen clips of it, so I haven't seen the whole thing. But I talked to some people, and some people say like, "Oh, it's such a wonderful film," and other people are like, "That's a stupid film." They don't like it.
Is that where he died?
Yeah. He's in heaven.
I watched that just a couple months ago. It was really weird.
It is.
Is it the one like what hell's like?
Part of it. That's near the end.
Not really what the point.
It's about the afterlife. Yeah. But I saw it when I was younger, and the thing that really really resonated with me was just the atmosphere, the visuals.
Yeah.
The
I would say like 10 years ago, like that would have been mm-hmm. like whoa, like
yeah,
visuals.
There's so many cool like environments. Like when he goes to his heaven, it's in a painting. Yeah. And it's in this vast field, this beautiful landscape, and it's all done with paint. Everything's paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. Yeah. But I don't know. It just had some really interesting moments when he does go into hell, and it's just I don't know. It the emotion of him interacting with the guide.
Yeah.
And just it's
very dynamic as you move throughout the film. Everything's changing. And
it is. Yeah. It's a little darker, and it has, you know, things get a little strange, but I really like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, a sad loss for the industry in general.
Yeah.
And for the world.
Yes. Mm. But we have all these
lovely memories,
these gems.
Fun. Yeah.
Fun memories.
And I think that's probably where we'll leave it.
Yeah.
This episode.
We'll be back next month.